Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Cheap Trick. Dan, I know I heard you report this yesterday on the news. The concert happened last night. The legendary Paul McCartney doing a very small club on the Lower East Side of Manhattan last evening.
Very cool.
The Bowery Ballroom seats about 500 people. It was one of these flash announcements. He announced the concert in the morning. Boom, tickets were sold out immediately. 500 people, very intimate setting. And he played for about an hour and a half. How many songs did he play? They're not numbered, but he played a lot. Looks like about 20 or so. Did not play my favorite Beatles song that's sung by Paul McCartney.
Which one's that?
That is the Beatles' best song. There's no argument.
Yeah, there's an argument.
He didn't play it.
But he
played all the hits, but one. Hard Day's Night, Gotta Get You Into My Life.
Could you imagine being in the crowd?
No! I remember years ago, Dana and I went to go see Paul McCartney play at the then Sprint Center. And I like the Beatles, but I'm not a Dave Helling kind of fan where he knows everything about the Beatles that is known. But I remember more than once turning to Dana and saying, "We are in the same room as a member of the Beatles." And that was kind of awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was back in 2015. Cool. That was back in 2015. That was 10 years ago.
Well, I saw Paul McCartney. What was that? That big tour in 1993, I think it was. He was doing a stadium tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. That was awesome, too.
He also did some of his non-Beatles stuff, like Maybe I'm Amazed, Jet.
Mm-hmm. Wings.
Yeah.
Wings stuff.
Of course, he did Hey Jude and Let It Be at the end. And he did that newly... not newly released, but newly discovered and released Beatles song Now and Then that they got a Grammy for. I think it was last year.
Very cool.
Would have loved to have been there, man.
That would have been nice.
I know it's a joke, but there is a petition on petition.com or whatever it's called, encouraging Denmark to annex California, and it does have 200,000 signatures.
Okay. I'm sure this is in response to the comments regarding
Greenland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all those signatures are from Denmark. They're playing along.
Yeah, they say, the petition says, imagine swapping your rain boots for flip-flops. And they note that California gets 300 days of sunshine a year. They are willing to buy it for $1 trillion, give or take a few billion. And their target is 500,000 signatures. Denmark's foreign ministry and California's Governor Gavin Newsom did not respond for comment.
You can buy it for the debt that they currently owe.
By the way, I did not know this. The United States has considered buying Greenland at least twice before now.
Really?
Yes, once was in 1867. So you learn things on this show.
Every now and then you do.
Well, I mean, once a week, maybe.
Don't hold your breath.
Once bi-weekly. Maybe it's once a year. 1867.
Why are we whispering? I can't hear what you're saying.
And then again in 1946 when President Harry Truman proposed buying Greenland for $100 million. Both times the Denmark said no thank you. They said that it's not for sale. Although I was watching it was CNN yesterday morning. They sent one of their reporters up to Greenland. There, and you know, that island only has... It's a subcontinent, let's be honest.
It's big.
It is.
And it's all ice.
It's about the size of Mexico.
It's bigger than that.
No, actually, it's not. It's not that big. It looks huge on the Mercator map because, northern and lower latitudes are stretched, so it all fits. But it's not as big as we assume it to be on that map.
It is about 100,000 square miles larger than Mexico. Yeah, about the size of Mexico.
Huh. Dan, never let me challenge you again, friend. But anyway, back to my point. There's only like 50,000 people that live on Greenland. Most of them live in the capital city of, is it Nuut? N-U-U-T or something? I don't know. there is an independence movement afoot in Greenland for them to break away from Denmark.
N-U-U-K. Nuke.
Nuke. Okay. And become an independent country. Now, the reporter from CNN said, well, if that happens, you wouldn't be able to defend yourself. And the woman who is kind of the leader of this independence movement said, no, we would have to sign some sort of defense agreement with either the United States or Denmark, but we don't want to become a part of either country.
I mean, it's not like there is a lot. I've never been, so I don't want to speak too poorly of the country of Greenland, but it's not like there's a lot to invade. Most of it's ice. And yes, 20,000 of the 56,000 people that live on that very large island live in Nuuk.
Nuuk. The only suspect ever charged in the killing of Tupac Shakur did not appear in court yesterday for hearing on whether his defense team is prepared to go to trial. Dwayne Kef D. Davis also did not attend a scheduled hearing in another case in which he is accused of fighting with another man at the Clark County Detention Center in late December. We do not know why he did not show up for his hearing yesterday. The judge thought he was maybe in the other hearing room and couldn't be in his courtroom. That is not the case, and his lawyers did not explain why he was not in court.
When you're behind bars, do you have a choice to not appear in court? No, I'd like to just stay here.
He is in the jail. I checked that out. I thought, well, maybe he's been freed on bond.
No, they wouldn't free him.
In a high-profile,
yeah,
one of the most high-profile murders in the last 30 mm-hmm. years.
No, I believe, requested at least twice to be freed on bond, and they said, if you did what we think you did, no.
He has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder in connection with the 1996 death of the rap icon in Las Vegas, has been jailed since September of 2023. I remember that because I was in the clink myself when he was arrested, and I saw it on the news. And a grand jury has indicted Davis separately last week on charges of battery and challenging someone to a fight.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out what evidence they have that connects him to the crime solidly enough to get a conviction.
And where was that evidence over the last 29 years?
Right? Yeah. Something fishy's going on.
I mean, USA Today, a former United States Postal Service employee in Charlotte, North Carolina, was sentenced to prison for stealing more than $20 million worth of checks.
Can't be doing that.
Would you care to guess? Well, what do you think would be a fair sentence for that? Stealing $20 million in checks through the Postal Service.
Well, did he steal them? And
I believe it's a she.
She, and then cash them?
Would be kind of silly to steal them and just have checks laying around.
Hmm.
Well, they have been ordered to pay $113,000 in restitution. So
well, that isn't enough restitution if it was $20 million they gained off this
okay,
scheme.
Okay, so they obtained hundreds of thousands of dollars in proceeds through this scheme. So they didn't cash all $20
million. Okay. It's federal. They'll get 5 to 10 years.
Ding, ding, ding. Nikedra Shannon, 30 years old, sentenced to 5 years in prison after pleading guilty to one count of conspiracy and one count of theft.
Mm-hmm.
She has two co-conspirators, Desiree Carter and Donnell Gardner. They were both sentenced to 4.5 years in prison for their roles.
We've talked a lot about the high-profile burglaries both here in Kansas City involving two Chiefs players, one involving Joe Burrow, a couple mm-hmm. of NHL players, an NBA player.
Yep.
Charges have been filed against some of the suspects who were arrested and found to have some of the goods that were allegedly taken from Joe Burrow's home. It's pretty obvious they came from his home because they are pieces of jewelry that he has worn in
a
public
LSU
setting.
T-shirt.
The JB9 with the Nike swoosh, bedazzled. Yeah. No, I say bedazzled. It's not bedazzled. Covered in diamonds necklace. That was one of the items that was found in the vehicle. Charges have been filed against three of the men. There were four men in the vehicle that was pulled over. All four of them were arrested. Three of them have been tied to those crimes and have been charged with burglary.
Well, yeah, it's amazing how they cracked the case. I don't know if you were in the studio when I reported last week that they tracked some of these items to a jewelry resale boutique in New York City.
Yeah.
And that's how they backtraced it to these guys.
Well, not a lot of people have diamond covered chains in the number 9 or JB9 with a Nike swoosh. I mean, it's going to be pretty easy to figure out where this stuff came from.
True, but I'm going to guess that this little stolen jewelry boutique is not open to public traffic.
They probably work with hot items a lot, and I don't mean hot as in popular.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Are you dropping Barbara Mandrell on me?
I walked into the vault. I grabbed a song. Here we are.
She and her two sisters had a TV show back in the, I think it was the late 70s, where they would perform and have guests and everything.
I mean, you know, you've been trying to play newer music, and so I had to level it back out to the 80s.
I was doing that under criticism. Anyway, I'd only be sorry.
Barbara Mandrell coming at you.
New York Post, blockbuster GLP-1 medications like Ozempic and Mounjaro, I think I pronounced that correctly.
Mounjaro,
thank you. Might sharpen your figure, but they could also cloud your vision in the process. A review published in the journal JAMA uncovered at least 9 cases of patients who experienced vision loss after taking semaglutide, the active ingredients in Wegovy and Zepbound. The study adds to a growing body of research documenting vision problems in patients using these drugs. A 2024 study suggested a potential link, my God, Scott, between semaglutide and the rare eye condition.
How's your vision doing?
Well, apparently not well. Sam, thank you. Non-arthritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy. In which restricted blood flow to the I'm done. I'm out.
You know what they need, Scott?
What?
Izervay.
Literally, Izervay. By the way, I was reading a story earlier today about semaglutide, where they think this might be the miracle drug of all miracle drugs.
Until
you don't see in front of your face.
But, right.
And keep in mind, that's only 9 people. How many millions of people in this country are taking Ozempic? I mean, give me a break. Or Wegovy or any of these drugs. But anyway, the main drug in Ozempic that makes it work is semaglutide. And not only does it help with diabetes, which was its original purpose, then they found out that people who were on these semaglutide drugs were losing weight. Because I guess it's an appetite suppressor of some capacity.
It's a neurological blocker of some kind that makes you not the squirrel in the brain saying eat that chocolate or drink that beer or light that cigarette isn't as heavy as it is when you're not taking the medication.
So I'm glad you brought up drink that beer. The study found that it might help people who have a drinking problem who, for whatever reason, cannot quit.
And if you look back at the history, you know, what has this been going on for about a year and a half now since this became the new weight loss craze in Hollywood, and it's now made its way to the rest of society.
Might have been a little longer than that, but I'll go with a year and a half.
There were hints at the idea that it would stop alcoholism in its tracks, and now we're finally seeing some studies coming out of it.
Now, can you explain that to me? I mean, I did it the old-fashioned way. I went to rehab, and does it just cut off the...
It's the
component in your brain that gets a reward?
Dopamine. It's essentially a dopamine blocker. And so when you, or it may be a dopamine stimulant, I'm really not sure. I'm not a scientist who has really looked into what semaglutide does. But from what I understand and from what people have described to me, when you think you want something, and the reason why it's helping in weight loss is, you know, say you have a habit of eating candy every single day, or say you have a habit of going to the vending machine. I'm not trying to call you out, but I know that you
do.
Get some Pringles every single day.
I love Pringles.
If that is contributing to your weight gain, all of a sudden Ozempic is going to stop that. It's going to stop that, I need some Pringles
The dopamine, which is, to put it in a very simple term, it is the reward sensor in your brain.
Right.
When people who say that they're addicted to gambling... what it is the ringing of the machine releases dopamine in your brain, which makes you want to play more, put more money into the slot.
Right.
you know, people who have an eating issue, they're addicted to food or whatever. When you eat food that is really not good for you, it releases dopamine in your brain, therefore you want more. And clearly, and I learned this in rehab, with alcohol, one of the main components of alcoholism is the alcohol releases dopamine, which floods your brain. When you're not drinking, your brain doesn't get that rush from the dopamine, which makes you want it even that much more.
Well, and it, especially with alcoholism, it makes you focus more on the bad. It makes you more depressed. And so you look for that outlet, and alcohol takes that away. You know, I know that there's a lot of people that say this is the miracle drug, and I know that I'm always the skeptic who's
wants
to take a step back and let's make sure that these things are legit before we go full steam ahead. To the point that I have joked about taking it just so I can join the class action lawsuit in 20 years, I worry what side effects we're going to start to see more and more. You mentioned it's only 9 people out of the millions of people that have taken it.
Mm-hmm.
These medications affect everyone differently. I mean, you get people who take it for 6-8 months and never have a single negative symptom. You get people who take it, and from the text line, I can't get any kind of buzz on Ozempic, alcohol or another product that's legal in one state and not the other.
You can say it.
So I had to go off of it on my cruise for a couple of weeks just so I could enjoy it. We don't know what these medications are going to do to our bodies long term, and we're just now starting to see the rollout because they're starting to study it more and more people take it for things other than diabetes.
Well, but to that texter's point, I don't think you're supposed to get a buzz off of Ozempic.
No, they said they're not getting a buzz from alcohol at all because they're on Ozempic.
Okay. Oh, I get it. I get it.
So it's maybe it's blocking the neural receptor dopamine charge in general.
Another one writes, I've been taking Ozempic for about 2 years. It does absolutely nothing to suppress my appetite. Well, to Sam's point, it'll work differently with different people. Not everybody's going to get the same reaction. Hence the disclaimer you hear at the end of every single big pharma commercial.
Yeah. Or death is always the last one, because
side
if one
effects.
Person dies in the trials, they have to say or death.
Or that, just add it so that if somebody does die, hey, man, we told them.
That trial could have been millions of people. If one person dies, they have to say or death. So then it comes to weighing your options. And if you are using it for speedy weight loss, as a lot of people are doing, they've also found that when you stop taking it, you go right back to those habits that you had before. It's not a habit inhibitor. It doesn't rewire your brain. You have to do that yourself.
So if you get off of it, you go right back to where you were.
That is correct.
So it's a lifetime drug.
And we don't know the side effects yet. And so, this happens with every single miracle weight loss drug. There was one in the 90s where through the trial, they had like 7 people die. I can't remember what it was called.
Was this a weight loss drug?
It was.
They ended up taking it off the market.
Dying left and right.
It used the same name twice.
Yeah.
I want to say it starts with an S. The text line, I don't know. Yeah, this was huge. This was actually in the early 2000s when they took it off the market. But Dan, do you remember the name of that weight loss drug that they took off the market in the early 2000s?
You're talking about Fen-Phen?
Fen-Phen.
It was in the 90s, and I believe they pulled it in 97.
Was it 97?
Yeah, it was causing...
I swear I knew somebody who was on it, who worked here years and years ago, who didn't even start here until like 2000. But if you say it went off the market in 97, I learned earlier
it was
this hour
not to
challenge you.
Oh, no. We'll have to look it up because I'm not exactly sure on the end date. But yeah, it was causing... they found that it was causing multiple health
issues. Was it heart issues?
Heart issues, pulmonary, all kinds of issues, yes.
All right, quick break for the news. Oh, no, we don't do the news at the bottom of the hour anymore.
No,
you
no,
just came in to educate us. That's right.
It's only 4:30.
Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie.
Simmer down.
My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Former K-State basketball star Michael Beasley is in a bit of trouble, but he is taking to social media, taking accountability for his actions after being arrested for possessing marijuana. at the Manhattan, Kansas Regional Airport on Sunday morning. Beasley, who returned to Manhattan for several appearances centered around Saturday's K-State versus KU men's basketball game, was found with just under 6 grams of marijuana while trying to board a plane.
You cannot fly with the old pot. Planes are FAA regulated. The federal government and the state of Kansas both look at that as an illegal substance.
Beasley wrote in a note posted to his Instagram, "Taking a moment to address the situation and move forward, I take full accountability for what happened today. Though it is still fresh, I'm already focused on learning and making better decisions."
Good on him for owning up.
Yeah, no excuses. Returning to Manhattan felt like coming home, and that win over KU truly showcased the heart and the resilience of our community. I extend my sincere gratitude to Coach Tang, the staff, the dedicated KSU fans for their unwavering support, and a special thank you to Miss Lucy for always having my back. Ema, always.
He recently played for a Chinese basketball team. Is currently not. Oh no, he's playing for a team called Three's Company. Where is that? Oh, it's part of the Big Three League.
The 3-on-3 league.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's probably going to be in trouble because that is also an illegal substance there.
Where?
Within professional sports.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, he had it. Didn't mean he smoked it.
I didn't inhale.
Thank you, Bill. An award-winning British scientist warns that it might be too late to deflect the city-killer asteroid that is headed toward Earth. Cautions Dr. Robin Andrews, a London-based scientist, deflection efforts, quote, might not be able to stop 2024. YR4.
Deflection efforts? What are we, Armageddon?
Discovered hurtling through our galaxy in December 2024, the building-sized space rock is reportedly at the top of NASA's watch list when it comes to deep space dangers.
I have an idea.
But wait till you hear this. Boasting a 1 in 43 chance of striking Earth in 2032. That is a greater than 2% chance.
I have an idea.
What?
We're going to go around the world and we're going to find the best drillers that we can find. We're going to assemble a team of drillers.
Would we get them off of oil rigs in the Gulf of America, Mexico?
Right. Mexico. Nice. And then we're going to assemble those drillers. We're going to teach them how to be astronauts. We're going to send them up there, and they're going to blow that thing to smithereens.
Are we going to send one ship, or should we send two?
We're
going
to have to send two because the nukes that we have are not going to be big enough to blow it up if we only put one in there. So we need to penetrate the asteroid from two separate points, and then we can film the whole thing and make a movie about it.
Do we give them golf cart-like jumping vehicles to get from site to site?
Well, of course. I mean, how else would they travel around that spiky rock?
Huh.
No, you know,
I forgive their taxes when they come home
And wipe their convictions clean because some of them were in prison when we went to go find them. You know, I love these stories. I love science. I'm a big science nerd. But we often, when we do news stories about sciencey things, ignore the fact that scientists' tasks are to calculate the worst case scenario. Yes. So they ran projections with 700 million different options for the trajectory of this asteroid, and they decided that if the perfect conditions happen, 2.3% of the time, that asteroid hits the Earth. That means that in the other 97.7% of the algorithms that they ran, the tests that they ran based on these projections, that rock missed by like 100 million miles.
Okay. By the way, we'll continue with the story in just a second, but we've gotten a number of reports of a huge police presence in the downtown area. We are not aware of what's going on, but we will do everything we can to find out. And Sam, only you can answer this. I remember the band. I don't remember the song you played. What was the last song yesterday at 6 o'clock? I know it was Volbeat. I'm trying to figure it out, and I simply can't. The band was Volbeat. I don't remember what song you played.
It was probably Lola Montez.
No, it wasn't Lola Montez.
Let me think about it.
Might have been Last Day Under the Sun.
Probably.
Okay. Back to the asteroid. And while the odds of Armageddon might seem slim, Dr. Andrews believes that we are in trouble if the intergalactic gravel is indeed on a collision course with our planet. The scientists throwing cold water on the defense potential of the DART, the double asteroid redirection test spacecraft, which was used to knock the 580-foot-wide asteroid Dimorphos off course in 2022.
Yeah, which, if you remember correctly, did not knock it off course. It was already off course.
But it didn't move it off its... I knew it wasn't going to hit the Earth, but when they hit it, which, by the way, is a mathematical feat that I will never be able to comprehend, when they hit it with the dart, it did move it off its current track.
Ever so slightly.
Yeah,
yes.
Not enough that it would avoid the Earth.
Correct. If it were actually on a trajectory to hit the Earth,
it would have hit
the Earth in a different spot.
Yeah, we could just move it to hit people that we don't like.
Exactly, yeah. Of course.
So, anyway, we are going to play some audio here. I want to remind everybody, when you hear it, keep in mind that these are the last sounds before, I believe it was five people who were on board, died. They have, the U.S. Coast Guard has released a 20-second audio clip believed to be the final moments of the Titan submersible before it imploded in June of 2023 on a voyage to visit the Titanic. I'm assuming the implosion.
The fuzz was just the connection, right?
Right.
So they had a live connection with a way to communicate with the folks on board. That fuzz is just the feedback from the fact that that connection is going directly through however many miles of water. And then you hear the deeper sound that would be that connection being disrupted by the fact that
yeah, because you do this hear a change in the sound where it goes boof, boof. Right there.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure people saw the headline and thought to themselves there was going to be some sort of bombshell mayday, mayday call. You know, in these situations, it's typically everything appears that it's going fine, and then.
But it's still sad just to hear it because you know that five people that was the end of five people. Yeah. Yeah. Very quickly, and I'll just take you at your word. If anybody else can confirm this, please do. The police presence downtown is on I-70 West, diverting traffic off onto I-35 South. Okay. That's all we know. If anybody can confirm that, please do. The text line is the same as the call-in number. It's 913-586-7798. Apparently, it was puppy pandemonium at Madison Square Garden last night during the 149th annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show Final, where the coveted Best in Show was crowned. It's a giant schnauzer by the name of Monty who won it. It was Monty's third time in a row representing the working group. The stunning, strong-bearded black dog hails from New Jersey. Monty's owner, Katie Bernharden, held back tears while being interviewed on the podium. He always tries so hard, and I'm just proud of him.
Puppy, okay.
Puppy did the damn thing, and I'm so proud of him. I don't know what the working group means, but apparently it's a class. It marked the first win for the working group since 2004, ending the longest drought for any group in the famed competition.
Like a working dog.
Okay, all right. Runner-up for the third time was Bourbon the Whippet, representing the Hound Group, her third time taking second at the competition.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I understand her holding back her tears and getting all choked up talking about it. From what I understand, of course, I don't know anybody intimately who does dog shows, but this is a very expensive hobby that they dedicate essentially a full-time job worth of time to. Words are easy.
I found that out about 30 minutes ago, Sam.
I don't know what's going on. Is there something in the air in
no,
here?
No, I don't think so.
It does feel like a Friday afternoon. Like, it feels like we shouldn't be.
Well, the thing, I mean, look outside.
Yeah.
There literally is no one on the road. Yeah. I mean,
they
there
did finally clear Shawnee Mission Parkway. That's pretty cool.
Hey, do you have that confirmed about what was going on downtown? Can you report that or not?
None of that is confirmed. Okay. I do have multiple people reporting it, but I do not know if any of it's true.
Okay.
There were reports of 40 or 50 police vehicles traveling down 71 at one point.
40 or 50?
That seems like an exaggeration.
It's like the entire force.
Yeah.
A statue of famed novelist F. Scott Fitzgerald was stolen from outside of a Minnesota building where he once attended school, according to police. The statue, which had been located outside the Academy Professional Building in St. Paul, depicted a young Fitzgerald seated with a couple of books in his lap. Now all that remains of the statue of the Great Gatsby author, which is my favorite book.
Fantastic book. Fantastic read.
Is part of his right hand. Now, what? I've seen the picture of the statue in the statue taken from two separate angles. It doesn't even look like he has a right arm.
Wait, so they lopped off part of the statue and took the rest of
it? Well, I'm sure that the right hand was affixed some way separately than the rest of the body.
Right, similar to the people that have been cutting the statues at the ankles.
Because he's seated on this ledge, this 2.5-foot ledge.
Okay, like that makes sense now.
But if you look at the picture, and I'm at the ABCnews.com story of the statue before it was stolen, obviously, it doesn't even look like he has a right arm unless it's behind him propping him up.
One of those where it's a relaxed position, leaning back on that right arm. And, it would make sense that was the anchor point keeping him up on that perch.
Do you know why? I found this out several years ago, and I'm not a big fan of fiction, but The Great Gatsby, I just absolutely love it and have ever since I was in high school when I was first assigned to read it. But when he wrote it, it was a flop. In fact, he died before it ever became popular.
Yeah.
Do you know why it became popular, The Great Gatsby?
Ooh, I was conjuring up an answer for why it was a flop. Why it became popular, I don't know.
So he released the book, I don't know, in the 20s or 30s.
Yeah, making fun of the rich people, right, which is why it was a flop.
Mocking the rich people in New York City on East Egg. And or West Egg, whichever one. And
doesn't matter. They're all rich.
I know. But anyway, the book failed to sell. And F. Scott Fitzgerald, and I have to go back and double check this. I believe he was an alcoholic. And he was just devastated by the fact that The Great Gatsby didn't sell. Now it's a book that is considered a classic. And, kids in high school read it. And I remember when one of my daughters brought it home and they're like, oh, got to read Great Gatsby. I'm like, oh, sweet, I'll read it with you. It's my favorite book. Anyway, the reason it gained popularity and became a classic is during World War II, the Army, because it's a relatively short read, it's like 150 pages or something, quick, would give it to soldiers to read during their downtime in the field.
I love that. That's awesome.
And then the soldiers came home, and they had their copies of The Great Gatsby.
Have you read this book?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and it became a huge hit.
I did not know that. That is cool.
And I think, I'll check this during the break. If I'm not mistaken, F. Scott Fitzgerald died broke.
He was, by the way, listed as a destructive alcoholic, according to many.
Yeah. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. We will see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.